honorable religious brothers and sisters, and dear parishioners. As I think of this gospel today about Jesus casting out the devil, the holy memory of Bishop McKenna comes to mind. He was our bishop from 1986 to 1991, when our old bishop was consecrated. And he was very well known for the many exorcisms that he did, where he cast out demons out of people. And I had the privilege of asking him how he went about it, and he told me, he looked for the signs of obvious diabolical possession. One case, for example, a farmer who was possessed by the devil was actually lifting his farm machinery up and heaving it around. No human being can do that. No human strength can do that. So it's obvious that the devils were in him, and he would cast them out through very long periods of repeating the exorcism prayers, and of course he's offering up prayer and fasting. And he was a frail man, so he wasn't able to do the total fast, but it kept at least the Lenten fast whenever he was doing exorcisms. And there was one time when he was being interviewed on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and this was in the mid-80s, and it was interesting that there was a couple there that was featured as a guest, and then some of the experts that were invited, he was one of them. And they asked about the disturbances. In this case, this couple that had this home were not possessed by the devil, but their home was certainly obsessed. You see, possession is when the devil literally enters into the body and something could happen through no fault of the person himself or herself. The devil takes control of the body. Obsession is when the devil is outside the body and causing disturbances. And the furniture would be flying around the room, and this man would relate how he would be pushed around, his wife pushed around. They were in real danger of physical harm. And, one of the experts says, the devil doesn't really exist. You just think he does. He's just a figment of your imagination. Remind me of what C.S. Lewis says in the Screwtape Letters: the devil wants us to think, at least for most people, that it's not real. And the man said, "Listen, I was in my bed and the devil picked me up and to the ceiling and dropped me out. Don't tell me I imagined that. It really happened." And then Oprah, at one point, this is the beginning of her career, her program, she asked him, at what point did all of the disturbances stop in your home? And the man said, it's when Father McKenna came to our house, exorcised it, and offered the traditional Latin Mass in our home. Brought his mask, stood along, mouth of the mask, everything stopped. There you have it. Traditional Catholic exorcism. Actually, each priest has the power of exorcism. And some priests are more inclined or gifted that way. I have only done one formal exorcism myself, but others have done it numerous times, and this is something that's a reality. God allows this to happen. And there was one time when the apostles came back to our Lord and said, "Lord, we commanded the evil spirit to leave," and he wouldn't. And our Lord said, "Some devils are cast out only through prayer and fasting." So during Lent, as we offer that prayer and fasting, more so than usual, more demons are being cast out. And maybe not necessarily the demons that are possessing bodies and obsessing people, disturbing people, but power of the devil is absolutely being weakened, which is why the devil hates prayer, hates sacrifice, hates fasting. But anything he whispers in our ears, don't do it, take the easy way out. And yet, we conquer the devil in this manner, in our own lives and even in the lives of others. There's one sin that, of course, the devil especially tries to get people to commit, and it's the sin against purity. And it's what the spiritual writers say and what the little Jacinta emphasizes about it, that more souls go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason. And there's a cruel mockery that the devil gives to people when he leads them into sin. Now let's remember, we can't blame it mainly on him. We have to mainly blame it on our own fallen nature. Our nature is inclined to pleasure, whether it's right or wrong. And we have to fight that off. But the devil definitely increases those temptations. And you know why he cruelly mocks people? Because he would never be inclined to a sin of impurity himself. He has no bodies. The devil is a pure spirit. By pure, I mean no bodily matter at all. He's just spirit. Fortunately, we have our guardian angel who is pure spirit, not just in the sense of spiritualness, but also our guardian angels love God and have no sin in them, unlike the devil who is full of evil, moral evil. But he mocks human beings because he can see how we're inclined this way. He sees the filth of impurity that people are tempted to. And he rejoices when they wallow in that. The sins of the flesh. By sins of the flesh, we mean any abuse of the procreative power that God has given to men and women to be used only. The holy state of marriage, the devil mocks the sinner. I got you to wallow in the filth. So, there is a very strong emphasis on purity in today's not only epistle, or not only the gospel, but the epistle as well. St. Paul says, don't even let this immorality be talked amongst you. Why? Because it's not befitting you as saints of God. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as become saints. And then he continues, for know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one has any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. So St. Paul is very clearly establishing with the Ten Commandments, what the Ten Commandments teaches, what the church teaches us, that these sins against purity, if they're fully deliberate, they are mortal sins. And it's going to be a battle. And again, we've got the devil there mocking us, saying, come on, go ahead and commit that sin. We have to resist him. You know, it's beautiful how St. Paul connects this. You know, he doesn't just talk about the negative part. Don't fall into this sin. He starts off today's epistle, be imitators of God as very dear children. And walk in love. So you see, St. Paul's telling us that sins against purity are a failure of love. They lack love. Love always seeks what is right, what is good. Love tells us to be faithful to our commitment, husband and wife to each other. And so sin is always a lack of love, a losing of love. This is why mortal sin is sometimes referred to in theology as the loss of charity. Because one has failed to love God, or chosen to not love God or one's neighbor in a serious way that's demanded, and has chosen rather to gratify oneself. So it's very clear. So how are we going to win this battle? How are we going to make sure that the devil doesn't come back with seven spirits more wicked than himself, as our Lord talks about in the gospel? That's a hair-raising image. Imagine that, driving the devil out of your life. And then searches in waterless places, takes seven demons more wicked than himself, and comes back inside. I think that's a very powerful image. Somebody who starts off, converts, is following the Catholic faith, and he falls away, and especially falls into this sin of impurity. There are more demons there than before. How do we prevent this from happening? Simple way to look at it is, be faithful in the little things. The little things you have. If we start to neglect the little things, we are going to find ourselves on that slippery slope. I talked to the children in the sermon Friday and during Mass about this. A slippery slope. Are you going to badly hurt yourself once you start sliding? No. But that's the problem of a slide. You can gain momentum and speed, and at what point is it too late? We don't want to find out that point. We can't let ourselves go down this slippery slope. This is why we have to be faithful in little things. Scripture has many a passage about if we are not careful about the little things, we're going to fail in the big things. And this is not just true of spiritual life, but for our salvation. This is true of everything in life. You want to do well in school? Pay attention to the little things that you have to do. You want to be good at your job? You have to be faithful in the little things. You have to show your employer that you are careful about those things. That's responsibility. It's not the employee that comes in, he just barely on time a little bit late every day. So the one that's there early is paying attention to the little thing. By the way, how about being at Mass? You come in at that last minute on Sunday, or try to be a little early. Again, faithfulness in little things. One of the models of St. John Merchant is there. I can't read it from here. Maxima. It has the words maxima and minima. Basically what he's saying, it's a very great thing to do those little things well. So let's not cut corners. I remember Father Clement Kubish giving a sermon on this. Don't cut corners in the spiritual life. And cutting corners means not being concerned about the little things. Important. Our Lord said, if we are faithful in a few things, we will be faithful in greater things. There's also quite a reference today in the liturgy about our eyes. And this is another way. It's not just a big way, but even a little way. Being faithful. We have to guard our eyes against impurity and indecency. Many things, many places we can't go to, and things we cannot watch because they are occasions of sin. But just listen to these references to our eyes. And let this be an exhortation for us to be very careful about this gift of seeing. The introit begins, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the snare. If your eyes are on the Lord, if you are on Him and on good things, you will be plucked from the snare. The the ones whose eyes are not upon the Lord, they shall fall into the snare. The gradual, or excuse me, the tract, to thee have I, from Psalm 122, that was from Psalm 24, by the way, in the introit, to thee have I lifted up my eyes, who dwellest in heaven. Behold, as the eyes of servants are on the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of the handmaid are on the hands of her mistress, so are our eyes unto the Lord our God, until he have mercy on us. The Blessed Mother's help, she who was praised by the woman, blessed is the womb that bore thee. And our Lord did not take away anything from his mother. He didn't say she's not blessed, but he says she's even more blessed, because blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Who kept and heard the word of God more than our Lady? Let us ask her to hear and